You're listening to Spreaker Web Radio.
All right, let's do it. Okay, it looks like we're going to pick up the sound pretty good, so I don't really have to make any special connections. Anything, praise God. Come on, y'all, let's put your hands together one more time. Give the Lord a hand, praise. Come on. Oh, y'all can do a little better than that. I may be small in number, but that's all right. I still do. I still pay for it. Praise God. I'm going to start a series today. This is probably going to be one of the most important series that I probably have a teaching on right now. In fact, I want to change the mindset. Praise God. Yeah, this is going to be probably one of the most important series that I teach on, and it's a lot of foundation teaching in this training. What I'm going to be ministering about is the gifts of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I may not touch that much on ministry gifts here, but I really want to touch on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how the gifts of the Holy Spirit are used to advance the kingdom of God. Let me say it again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how the gifts of the Holy Spirit are used to advance the kingdom of God. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We don't spend a lot of time here. This is probably going to be a two-part series. I'm going to break this up because it's quite a bit of teaching here. But one of the things that we need to understand is when God releases us into an atmosphere, especially a place where it's been typically dry, and there's a lot of religion and there's a lot of tradition, it has to be a strategy put in place where people are raised up and they've been implemented through training, through impartation, through activation, and have been released in the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that they can properly advance the kingdom of God. See, the Bible says that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not, we're not dealing with people on the outside. We're not even concerned about whether or not folks are coming, whether they have this mindset on they can't connect, or they're not being exclusively set in a place where they can be drawn to this type of ministry. But the thing that we're dealing with is we're dealing with a demonic struggle, a hindrance that keeps people from entering into the presence of the Lord. So with that, God begins to raise up individuals. He'll choose some of the most peculiar people on the planet that flow very strongly in the gifts of the Spirit. They understand how to love, and they know how to gather people together in a place where they have one thing in common, and that's the love of God. And when you can get that type of unity in a place with a group of people, it makes it much easier for the kingdom of God to advance. Amen. So let's look at this. I'm gonna spend a couple of Sundays on this particular word here, and I think this is gonna really bless you. So I encourage y'all to take some notes. And like I said, we're gonna do our best to make this a recording. I may even broadcast this message on later on tonight over the radio station. Praise God. So verse number one, we're going to begin reading, and we're going to go all the way to verse 11. It starts, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Yea, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as we were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all." Verse number 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Make sure you guys are writing these down. You're taking the notes, please. Verse number 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, divided to every man severally as he will. You know, I can recall, you know, the Lord is just really dealing with me right now while I'm reading scriptures. I can recall many years ago, I mean, I'm going to even tell myself a little over 30 years ago, when we were sitting in church, even as young as my son and growing up, I was in a church that really believed in signs, wonders, and miracles. The Spirit of God would flow and people would come in there and they would get healing. There'd be the working of miracles and there'd be manifestations of people getting out of wheelchairs and so on and so forth. The word of knowledge would go forth. A lot of times I would remember seeing the pastor come up and he would get a word of knowledge right in the middle of teaching and people would begin to walk up and get healed. Tumors were literally taken off of people's body parts and little growths that grew on people's side and a prophetic word just really flowed. And I didn't understand none of that growing up at that age. I didn't know what was going on. To me, I was just like church as usual. We were just going to church every Sunday. And then as I began to grow up, the Lord just began to put me in remembrance about all those services that I used to sit in and those experiences that I had by sitting in those up underneath that type of teaching. There were gifts that were then, even when I was a little child, that had been imparted into my spirit. They had been put there. I can even remember, and I even placed this in my bio, I remember hands being laid on me even at the age of 5. I remember that going up to the pulpit. This was a pretty big church. And I remember going up to the pulpit, you know, at least at 5 years old, it looked pretty big to me. And I remember going up there and I remember the pastor laying hands and praying. And there was such an impartation and a transference of the anointing that even came then. And see, a lot of people then, back in the 70s, they wasn't talking about apostles and prophets and none of that stuff. But I remember the impact that I had received as a result of that. And so many leaders had been launched from that ministry. That place was literally a catapult for leaders around the country. And still even unto this day, even some of the children now, I mean, even one of them, have come from that place as a result of that anointing that was on that house. So one of the things that we begin to understand about the gifts of the Spirit, and even when they're stirred up, even from our youth, it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. It may not happen next year. But there's an impartation that you receive from the house and from the leader, from the shepherd of the house, that can really take you into the next generation. So it's important for us to understand how the glory of God begins to work and how the anointing stirs us up and moves us into that next phase in our life. Praise God. So let's concentrate on something here. One of the two things that we're going to concentrate on today is the two foundation stones, which is unity and love. The greatest thing about the gifts of the Spirit is the two foundation stones from which they are laid. That's love and that's unity. There's got to be love and there's got to be unity. Every building has a structure. Every place that you enter into, it doesn't matter whether you go to school, whether you go to work, every building structure has a foundation to it. And it was structured or laid with a purpose behind it. On even how it was, the entire building was erected upon that. The church is, there's a foundation for the church and how it's erected and what it stands on. It has to have a purpose. So the purpose behind the foundation of the church has to be the unity and it has to be the love. So these two elements are essential to the Holy Spirit and his function in the church. Make one write that down. Love and unity, these two elements are essential to the Holy Spirit and the function in the church. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, flip over if you can, chapter 13, verse 2. You know, of course, this particular chapter talks a lot about love. As a matter of fact, just from my experience of being in theology and studying in certain places in ministry, one of the things that I've learned about the letter that Paul had written to the Corinthians, if you look at chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14, if you take away the numbers, it's a continuous rhyme. Amen. Because he kind of flows right into it. When you see in verse 31 in chapter 12, verse 31, it flows right into chapter 13. Look at verse 2. It says here, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. In other words, Paul is telling us, he said, look, it doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how good you can sing, how well you prophesy, how good you can preach. There's some good preachers out there, man. Ain't nothing like a good old preacher that can hoop and sing all at the same time. Your preachers sound good. I don't know about y'all. I like the way they sound. They get and they get to singing. They sound pretty good, don't they? They're very talented. They're very talented. I mean, they got all the articulation down. I never forget one time when I was in Virginia a couple of months ago. They showed me this YouTube video, and it was his brother. He was doing his licensing service or his licensing survey, and he was up there. He was just hands was moving, and he was just going back and forth, and he was everywhere. And put his ear out there, you know, and he had to tune up right and everything, and he just went for it, man. And next thing you know, he pushed the Bible off the pulpit or off the podium, and he got to jumping and shouting. He ain't got the moves. Oh Lord, this is just nothing but entertainment. You'd be surprised how what extent some leaders will go to just to get the people from a place of victory, so to speak, out of a place of defeat. I call it, you just worried about whether or not folks are going to be bored. You forget all that. If you're truly in the Lord, ain't no such thing as bored. Watch this. The Holy Spirit and his gifts will not function without unity in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit and his gifts will not function without unity in the body of Christ. We gotta come to a place where we come on one accord. Watch this. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 1. We all know the story about the day of Pentecost, 120 that was up in the upper room, so on and so forth. I know y'all probably heard that many times, and how the Spirit of God came in and the tongues of fire set up on the heads of the people, and so on and so forth. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Look at that scripture carefully. If you got a pen and you're not afraid to mark up your Bible, I want you to mark this down. And look at the word they. Then look at the word all. And then look at the phrase one accord in one place. All that right there. Watch this. Throughout the early church age, emphasis were placed on the plurality of the people. There was always emphasis that was placed on a group of people getting together in one place at one time on one accord. Amen. During the building process of the church, it was necessary for the plurality of the people. There was always a continued unity amongst all the people. The early church was birthed out of the unity of the people through the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the gifts of the Spirit will flow through the unity of the body of Christ, which is the church. That's how they flow. When we get together, it's just sudden impact. You know, you got all these different sayings people use. You know, we don't get together, we don't have a party. You know, if people get together in a party, I mean, they have a good time. Uh-huh. We gonna get together, y'all, and it's gonna be BYOB, and y'all know what BYOB is. He's a dog show. And we gonna have a good time and just we gonna dance all night and we gonna smoke something, drink something, everybody on one accord. You know what you're talking about, that's the world, it's easy to come on one accord. Oh, well, when you start talking about prayer, everybody, well, you know, I got to take the keys to Sunday practice. And, you know, we got this going on, and I might not be able to make it. So y'all just go ahead on without me. And that's one of the biggest deceptions in the body of Christ. The first thing that the enemy is trying to do with a core group of people is to cripple their unity. If he can cripple the unity in the gathering of the people, he can break up the nucleus in which God is trying to release synergy in the room. Anytime he can break that up, he does the same. He, not only does he do it in the church, he's trying to do it in the nucleus of the family. If he can break up the unity in the family unit, he can break it up in the church. That's his main objective. He does it on the job. It's how many know that many of the jobs, I know some of the jobs I've been on, it's nothing but the grace of God to try to keep a lot of folks on one accord in that place, especially even as a leader, because it's always some exclusivism, it's always some division, it's always some envy and some strife is going on, and you got to do your best to try to stay on one accord with everybody. Somebody picking at so-and-so over here. Oh, I seen so-and-so. Y'all got the tattletale in the workplace. It's the same way at home. It's the same way in the church. Everybody get clicked up, and the enemy trying to come in and break up the nucleus of the of a core group of people. That's his objective. If he can do that, he begins to break down the flow of God's of grace and his anointing that flows through your life. All the, let me tell you something. Those saints over 30 years ago, they understood that. It wasn't nothing for them to call one another up and get together, even whether it be within their homes or be right there at that church. And they get together and they pray and they fast and they seek the face of God. Then one of them mothers come up in there and they see some of them single mothers struggling, or they see some of those couples that's having a hard time. The husband can't find a job. Man, them mothers will get you and they say, come on over here, baby. We're going to pray. We're going to sit here for 3 days if we have to, and we're going to get a breakthrough, and we're going to believe God. And I'm telling you, every time it happens, somebody got a job, somebody got a breakthrough, something took place. I remember my daddy. My daddy used to drive the buses for the church. The same church I was talking about earlier. He used to drive the buses. He used to pick folk up all the time. And he would go in there. He wasn't working. He was laid off. He was working for the U.S. Steel Mills up in Gary, Indiana. He wasn't working. This was in the mid-70s. We was little kids running around there eating up all the bread, eating up all the chicken, all the grapes, all the hog. Come on. He wasn't working. And he would go in there and do little odd works here and there and go paint for folks and clean up folks' yards and out of their garages, just little odd jobs and doing stuff around the church. And it was hard. But then the mothers, they knew because they found out that my daddy wasn't working. The mothers, they grabbed my mama and they went in there and they started praying. They started believing God together. See, sometimes you can't be worried about what somebody else is doing. See, my daddy wasn't living right all the time. He wasn't in Christ like he should have been. He was just kind of shucking and jiving a little bit. He wasn't always on one accord with the Lord. But because mama was praying and because she was believing God, the Bible says that the husband is sanctified to the wife, and the wife is sanctified to the husband. So it doesn't matter what's going on. Somebody got to be praying. Somebody got to keep their head straight with the Lord so God can keep the place blessed. Amen. And so the mothers would get with my mama. I still remember it very clear to this day. I even remember some of them women of God coming over there and stopping at the house, and they would get up in the living room and they would begin to pray. I don't know about y'all, but when I used to hear some of them old folks pray, I used to know how your skin would begin to crawl, and you could feel the presence of God just coming over you. But they would pray and they believed God. I mean, they prayed and prayed and prayed. See, years ago, right before we were born, my daddy here went through what they call an apprenticeship program for the iron workers. He had his apprenticeship certificates and all of his paperwork and so on and so forth. And he just wasn't working in that field. Working in the mill was good around that time because they paid $15, $16, $17 an hour real easy. Back in the mid-70s, that's good money. Way good money. So when the mothers began to pray, almost immediately, within months, my daddy was working for the CTA. Chicago Transit Authority. That's where he retired from. As a result of folks getting on one accord and praying, they believed God. They didn't say, they didn't shuck and jive. They believed in holiness. They weren't hanging out in the streets. They weren't trying to figure out what they could do and where they could go so they could go and get them some personal time with one another just to go eat lunch and stuff like that. No, they got busy and they prayed and they believed God. And this is what's wrong with the mindset of the body of Christ, because we become selfish and self-willed and we want to do our own thing. And instead of us getting on one accord in one place with the saints of God so that God can bless us, we get consumed with other stuff of the world that overwhelm us. Yeah, let's go to this. Let's move forward. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Flip back over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Praise God. Glory to God. There's somebody trying to reach me here. They're looking for us over here. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts. Again, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Let's look at that. Let's talk about the gifts for a second. I'm not going to really go into it today, but we're going to break it down a little bit. Let's look at the diversities of gifts. Let's look at this one more time. Okay, verse number 8, where it starts, it says, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Right here, Paul names 9 gifts of the Spirit. When you begin to understand the gifts of the Spirit, the 9 gifts of the Spirit, there are 3 points to this. Number 1, there are the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts, they say something. They're gifts that say something. And that would be the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation tongues. Those are the gifts of revelation. And then you have the power gifts. There's the power gifts. These are the gifts that do something. And then number 3, there are the inspiration gifts, the gifts that reveal something. And that's pretty much the first 3 gifts that we talked about up front on verse 8, the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge. Amen. And then you got to look a little closer down. There's the discerning of spirits. But no, actually, yeah, that's the inspiration gifts also. And then you have the power gifts. Of course, there's the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and the gifts of working of miracles. Amen. So we're going to get in that. We're going to teach a little bit deeper on that. Not today, but more likely next Sunday. But let's look at verse number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. It says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So when we look throughout the scripture, when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the advancement of the kingdom of God in the church, we have to have an understanding of the differences of administration. Never compare your gifts or giftings, your ministry giftings, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Never compare that to the next person. God has made each and every one of us very unique. Amen. So no matter the size or the quantity of the matter might be, we all function under the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God for being different and unique and having different administration and different ways to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And I would hate to be duplicated and operate in the gift of the Spirit the same way that my wife does or the same way that most leaders do. I would want to be a little unique in how God uses me. Amen. You don't see Moses and even Joshua, even though they were totally connected, they had different ways of administrating. Joshua had a militant way about the way he operated. So did Moses, but Moses was a little bit more laid back. He was a little bit more instructive. He had a lot more patience. As a matter of fact, he may have had too much patience. Joshua didn't have as much patience as Moses did. And so a lot of times too, depending on who our ministry gift leaders are, when hands are laid on us and the gifts of the Spirit are even imparted into us, we may even begin to operate like our leader. But eventually, as we begin to flow in that thing and we get more relaxed, we begin to take on our own character, and our character begins to come out of those gifts. And that's one of the reasons why there's emphasis placed on having some love from the and when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Because if you don't love folks and you flowing fluently in the prophetic, every time you flow in the prophetic, you got some kind of warning or some kind of derogative thing to say to somebody every time you prophesy. The Lord gonna kill you if you don't do this. Folks prophesy like that because they don't really have no love in their heart. I mean, sure enough, there's gonna be some words that's gonna come forth as a result of a warning that's gonna come. I remember in the Word when you read about Nathan, when Nathan came to David, he gave David a prophetic word and he warned him and told him that his son was gonna die because of the sin that he had committed. So some of these things, sometimes there is going to be a warning. Sometimes there is going to be judgment on the prophecy. But a lot of times you just got a bunch of kooky people that flow with prophecy and they don't have no love in them. They don't hang out with folks. They're very carnal. They rather run the streets with their friends than get in a place where they can get talked by seasoned leaders. They would rather be a part of other things that are not of God, and they keep themselves in atmosphere and around people that are carnal, and it's difficult for them to prophesy in love. Amen. So here, look at the next one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. See, some people hate it. A lot of folks, they don't realize that when God got his hands on you and you can't do what you used to do and you can't go where you used to go and you can't hang out with the folks that you can't hang out with, you need to start questioning, is it something that I'm doing wrong, or is it something about how God is trying to release in my life? Sometimes God will set you aside for a purpose and keep you away from folks because he don't want them touching the anointing that's on you. You know that scripture that says, touch not my anointing to do my prophet so harm. That go a long way than you just saying something bad about a prophet or gossiping about them. Sometimes God don't want certain folk around you because they mean you no good. They don't have nothing to do with being cutting them off or nothing like that. Sometimes God just keep you in a place of solitude, a place of solitude and confinement because he's trying to keep that anointing on you pure. Amen. So every ministry and every ministry gift do not operate the same. One apostle may operate or flow or differently than the other apostle would. But here's a written scripture here. It says, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. I'm not going to flow the same way Apostle Eckhart did. Just not going to do it. I'm not going to flow the same way Apostle Richard D. Hinton flow. I'm not going to flow the same way Apostle Carinado flow. I'm not going to flow the same way. The way that God made me is totally different and totally unique. Amen. Some ministries reach people by way of TV. Some people reach people by way of radio. Whereas another ministry may be on the internet or more personal one-on-one evangelism. Everybody's operation is different. And that's what the scripture means by diversities of operation. The Lord may use you, and Selena and I talked about it, the Lord may use you to set some chairs up in your living room and just have Bible study for a season. Some of y'all might just stand up outside. He might put you on the street and just stand there with a bullhorn on top of a milk crate and shout to the rooftop, Jesus Christ is soon to return. That might be your ministry for a season. Some of us may be designated to get on the phone and just call up our friends and loved ones and pray for them. That may be your ministry. You may have a ministry of prayer. You may have a ministry of praise. Sometimes every time you walk up in the grocery store and people speak to you, the Lord may say, I want you to change the way you approach these people. And instead of you say, hi, how you doing? Hey, the weather is nice. No, he don't want you to say that in this season. He may want you to say, hey, God bless you. Praise God, how you doing? He might want you to lift people up with their joy. You never know who you're coming in contact with. Because God just uses us all differently. They're different administrations and they're different operations. And that what makes up the uniqueness and the function of the body of Christ. And it brings us into a place of unity and love. Amen. If everybody was doing the same thing, yeah, that would be boring. If all of us had the same gifts, all of us up here, all we did was prophesy, eventually everybody gonna walk away. And you'd be surprised how many churches are raised up when everybody in the place, all they do is prophesy. Every Sunday, prophesy. Man, you can only prophesy to the same person so many times. That's just ridiculous. If you got some folks, all they do is sling oil on you. Get you in a prayer line. They won't put some oil on you every Sunday. Same folks get up and get in the same prayer line. We pray for the same thing every Sunday. You should be surprised. We should never question the operation of means being used. No matter what type of operation is being used, it is the same God which worketh in all. No matter if it's big, if it's a big church, if it's a little church, if it's a medium-sized church, if it's just a couple of people. The Bible says, well, two or three are gathered in his name. There he is in the midst. See, in the early church, they didn't gather in large numbers. They wasn't getting in one place and coming to community and conference rooms like we do and going to buildings. They didn't do that. They met from house to house. Of course, they met in the synagogues and in the temple, but they went from house to house. The Bible says, well, two or three. They would have literally Bible meetings. They went 24/7 around the clock. That's how they did church. They cooked and ate, broke bread, and fellowship. That's that Greek word, koinonia. That's when they had that fellowship. That was kingdom fellowship when they would get together. So it didn't matter if it was big or little. We must never exalt or debase any function or operation of an individual's ministry. Watch this. Take note of this. You cannot copy or duplicate the way another ministry is operating. We are still led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're still led by the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That word profit, look at that word profit. I'm going to spend a little time on it. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Do you know when we come into the church, you know, sometimes we always come into the mind frame of when there's an offering collected, there's a profit in the church. Amen. But this word profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, it means a profit with all. That means that when we advance the kingdom, we profit as well. See, watch this. When there is unity and love flowing through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the benefits we gain is the advancement of the kingdom. So the kingdom of God begins to advance when we come together. Just for the simple fact that we came together today and we sat here amongst one another and we gathered together in the presence of the Lord, we're advancing the kingdom in that sense. This is part of the advance of the kingdom. A lot of times they say, well, I don't seem like we're doing nothing because, you know, we're still small in number, or we don't have a lot of people coming. Folks ain't trying to get in the door, and we ain't running around with chickens like a chicken with a head cup. No, it don't work like that all the time. The term profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, means any advantage or benefit to improve, to be made better or wiser. Let's say it again. The term profit means any advantage, benefit to improve, to be made better or wiser. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. When you then just say amen. So when we're profiting, when we begin to prophesy, we begin to profit. When we gather together in unity and love, and we begin to prophesy, we begin to profit in the church. We begin to gain. There's a benefit. We begin to take, by any means, an advantage. We begin to improve. The gift of prophecy improves us. The word of knowledge, when it flows, and the gift of miracles, the gift of working of miracles, and the words of wisdom, it causes us to profit because the gifts of the Spirit causes us to advance. Are y'all there? Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent taken by force. Or in the New International Version, it says, or forcefully advances the kingdom. So the kingdom of heaven is the institution of the heavenly government of God's kingdom that's implemented in the earth realm that causes us to be driven by the Spirit of God so that we can flow properly in the things that God has placed in our lives. So with spiritual force, through the manifestation of the gifts in operation, we advance or profit the kingdom. Amen. Y'all get this? We literally advance or profit in the kingdom. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18. See, our gifts are not used in a carnal or fleshly manner, but by spiritual wisdom. It takes spiritual wisdom to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. See, sometimes you got to stand still and you got to allow yourself to really hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And sometimes when God can be speaking a thing, and because that thing is like a rush and it continues to come and it continues to flow, that impartation and that glory that's coming in like a rush will eventually cause you to get like, oh my goodness, God is saying this and he's saying that. Sometimes you just got to use wisdom before you begin to move on some of those things that you're doing. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18. It says, wisdom is better than the weapons of war. Y'all got that? Wisdom is better than weapons of war. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, y'all have to turn to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So when we use wisdom, wisdom causes us to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and we're able to move forcefully as we begin to advance the kingdom of God. So again, the unity and that love, when we begin to come to gather together in one place, on one accord, at one time, the gifts of the Spirit causes us to profit. We begin to gain advantage. Amen. So for the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not carnal. It's just not. It's a spiritual thing taking place. It's causing us to profit in the kingdom. It's causing us to forcefully advance his kingdom. Amen. All right, so I'm gonna finish up with this part here. We're gonna wrap up in a minute here. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit always bring profit. Y'all can note that down. The gifts of the Holy Spirit always bring profit. They always advance us, they benefit the kingdom, and when each of us bring our assets together and the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to function among us, the church or the body of Christ will profit and benefit together. So again, that scripture right there, verse 7. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So if one person over here is operating in the gift of prophecy, I got one person over here operating in the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. We got another person operating in the gifts of healing. We got another person operating in the gifts of working the miracles. The gift of faith is in operation. The discerning of spirit is in operation. When we come together on one accord in one place and we begin to utilize the gifts of the Spirit on one accord in one place, we begin to advance the kingdom of God. And the church begins to profit. Amen. This is all that was happening in the New Testament in the early church when Peter stood up and he began to prophesy. The Bible says that right after he prophesied and he ministered the word of the Lord, 3,000 people came to Christ that day. And when the church catched that revelation on coming together on one accord in one place, immediately the kingdom of God started to advance. We literally begin to take over regions within days. You know, it's not supposed to take us months and years to literally infiltrate a region for the kingdom of God. It's supposed to take days. The Lord has given us a pattern right here in the scripture. The early apostles caught that revelation quick because they understood what it means to profit. Not profit as a prophet prophesying, but to profit as a gain or have advantage of. See, the enemy can't stop us when we get on one accord. And this is why we really have to deal with that spirit of diversity, that spirit that brings division and exclusivism in the church, that one spirit that keeps us divided and keeps us from flowing in the unction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here, let's read again. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, we're going to go from verses 12 and 13. When you did just say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. All right, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So let's look at this one body together. I like this. I got some notes. I'm going to just share this with y'all. The Apostle Paul pleads with the Corinthian believers for the Lord concerning unity. The Holy Spirit is grieved when his children are fighting and bickering among one another. It has been the plan of Satan from the beginning to institute exclusivism or division among the children of the Lord. Ministry gifts are being raised up now in the 21st century that will dismantle the doctrinal area or the doctrinal era many leaders have fought over and focus more attention on principles of the kingdom by settling denominational differences once and for all. And just like I was saying earlier, and this is really bad in the Afro-American community, because when the Holy Spirit flowed and really, really hit this nation in 1906, we immediately went into division. We had two big leaders that came forth. One was fighting over baptism, saying we're going to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there was another one over here saying, no, we're supposed to baptize in the name of Jesus. So we started bickering and fighting over doctrinal differences. And out of those two differences came up more division. We got the Baptist movement. We got the PAW. We got the Methodist Episcopal and the Afro-Americanist and the Seventh-day Adventist came. All of these different denominations came out. If the enemy can defragment any form of individuals and keep them from gathering together on one accord in one place, he got us. And this is why I believe the kingdom of God is so relevant right now in this hour. Because the kingdom of God brings us back together on one accord. There's no isms and schisms in the kingdom. Everything is being said. It is being said with purity and with righteousness and with holiness, and it keeps us in the same mind frame as what the Holy Spirit is speaking through his word. Denominations just broke us down, y'all. We broke up the families. We got so many different issues going on in the families. It's like we were speaking up earlier. If he can break you down from the church unit, he can break you down in the home. And that's been his strategy for so long. Every time you get a core group of people together, I keep saying it doesn't matter how many people I preach this to, it take them a while to get this. When his strategy is when God brings a core group of people together and the glory of God is released upon that group. Look at the folks at on the day of Pentecost. There was 120 of them up in that upper room. The fire of God hit that place. You imagine, and I say this before, imagine 120 leaders in this region come together on one accord, and the Holy Ghost hit them. Imagine what would happen. The Bible says it gives us a clear strategy and a pattern right here. 3,000 people coming to Christ that day. Nobody should have an issue on whose church they're going to go to. I can't handle 3,000 people. I ain't even got about the track. We're going to have to, hey, you take this family over here. As a matter of fact, let's split them up. You take the A through the C's, and you take the C through the E's, and so you're going to have to break them up. There's too many people. A pastor is not effective ministering to more than 50 people. It's just not going to happen. That's in Scripture. That's the word. Amen. So the body of Christ is not bound together by denominations and doctrines, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just to keep it simple, one thing that I can admire, you know, I grew up in a Baptist school, and one thing I always admired about them is they were consistent with bringing the people to Christ. They were very consistent. They said the same thing. They said the same prayers. And people would come to Christ and just be so simple. Man, we got to, in the Afro-American church, we got to preach so loud and spit across the pulpit before we can get people's attention. Amen. We shout to the rooftop. Oh, come on, you got to give your life to Christ. And if you don't, you're going to go to hell. We put more folk in hell every Sunday than anybody on the planet. Amen. We do. Yeah, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Simple scripture here. I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says here, read it, just say, man. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I love the polarity that Paul uses in each and every one of his letters. He don't just say some things or a couple of things. He makes reference to all. And here we see a man that's truly pure in heart and having this discussion with this Corinthian church. And he's saying, hey, if you're really in Christ, you're going to put aside all those old stuff, the old way of doing things. You're not gonna kick it with the same folks that used to like to get it like you like to get it. Come on, somebody. You're not gonna go the same places that you used to go. You're not gonna do this. You're not. Sometimes even being in Christ, it even causes you to dress different. Amen. It's not to say it has to be something religious, but you just something about you just changes. The countenance on your face changes. There's a different joy in your heart than that joy that you used to have. It's this life that you have now. It's only conducive for holiness. You don't talk the same. You don't use the four little words that you used to use when you get angry no more. Come on, somebody. You might find something else. Oh, go and shut the front door. You might say something different. Amen. But you found some peace in your life because you now become a new man. Amen. If a person belongs to Jesus Christ, he or she belongs to you too. Amen. When we become one with Christ, we just read that over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When we become one with Christ, we also become one with his body. There's no situations where we have to break up folks because you believe this and you believe that over there. And no, we don't baptize that way. No, y'all, you go ahead. There's no way in the world that I'm going to walk down the street and just really condemn my brothers and sisters that say they in Christ. But because I baptize in Jesus' name and they baptize in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I'm going to be up on. No, we're going to love them the same. Amen. We're going to love them the same because they're still a part of the body of Christ. Amen. So again, we are all a part of the body of Christ. If someone draws a circle, and this is the quote. I found some notes by Lester Sumrall. I don't know if y'all know who Lester Sumrall is. Powerful man of God. I got a chance to go to one of his ministry services one time before he passed away out of South Bend, Indiana. It was the same ministries. But awesome man of God. But he had a quote. He said, if someone draws a circle and leave you out of it, just draw an even bigger circle and include him in it. Amen. I like that. Because you always have folks that's trying to make you feel inadequate because you're different. You always have folks that's trying to make you feel useless or unworthy because you don't do the same thing and don't believe in the same thing that they believe in. And this spirit is perpetual. If it's not, again, it's not only worse in the church, but it begins to infiltrate even in the homes. If Satan can break down that unity in the church and cause us to be clipped up and set aside, and I'm telling you, I remember right before we had left Indiana, there was a church split, and I knew that some of the members that went there. They were some of them were getting upset because some of the older folks wanted the church to continue to carry on the way that they used to. Man, this church been there almost 100 years. That's how long they have been there. One of the most integrated, most popular ministries in the city. It wasn't a big church, but it was a family church. A lot of the folks in the community attended that church. They were even beginning to develop little Christian schools around it and so on. And this new pastor was put into place. And he had sort of a kingdom view. He had some differences on what they believed as far as the Baptist doctrine that they were being governed by. And he was trying to implement a new move and new strategies of the Lord as he was pastoring the church. Well, of course, you know, some people were bucking it. They were. But as a result of it, because the group of young folks that was admiring the pastor and then the old folks who wasn't admiring, it caused a church split. Nobody was able to settle the differences. And this is why it's so important for us to follow the patterns of leadership, because you had deacons and certain board members that wasn't even equipped to handle the pastoral roles of the church, voting and casting all of these different rules and putting this man out of the church. It could have all been different. And we have to be careful that we don't just break folks up because of our differences and be able to settle. The Bible says you got a heart with your brother or sister in Christ, you're supposed to come to them. You're supposed to settle that difference with them. If there's something in you that make you want to not be a part of my life anymore, you need to tell me. You need to be honest. Don't just shuck and jive and walk around me and tiptoe and don't say nothing. Same way, vice versa. If I have a problem with you, I need to bring it to you and we need to fix it. We're not supposed to get on what's his name? The judge that come on at 9 o'clock. What's his name? Joe Brown. Yeah. You'd be surprised how many folk on there claim Christianity. And they be suing their blood relatives. The Bible talk about that, y'all. About us taking each other to court too. And we so quick to put our issues and stuff in front of the law, but we won't sit down and settle our differences with love. And that's all God is calling us to, is a place of unity and love. You don't want to accord with each other. We were literally, I'm telling you, if you took every denominational or interdenominational or non-denominational church in this area, if the leaders got on one accord in the city, this place would be impacted. It would be such a tremendous move of God. We would never have to worry about having a drought. There was a serious drought in this area last year. We wouldn't have had no drought if the leaders that came together and started praying. And everybody had a revelation on the drought. I don't know about y'all, but I mean, you look on Facebook, everybody had a revelation about the drought. Like, really, y'all, seriously? You gonna prophesy about the drought? Come on. Y'all ain't seen no drought. My life like the one that Elijah called. That was a 3.5-year drought. He not only prophesied it, he called it forth. And he was the same one who called it out and caused the rain to come. Amen. So we have not seen nothing. All of the intact teaching and stuff about the Lord's coming, the world was all messed up. Look, the world was in worse condition in the Old Testament when they was eating their youngin'. Come on. You had folks that was eating their kids. Cannibalism, it's in the Bible. Flesh eaters. And everybody prophesying that, oh, America gonna go into a state where people gonna start eating people flesh, you gonna see zombies and enough. You probably not, because you got folks in this country that's literally starving to death. I wouldn't be surprised. Folks not working, they haven't been working for several years now, they can't get a job, and God forbid if they're still not hustling on the streets, because you got a lot of felonies, people who have committed felonies, they can't get a job. They can't even collect food stamps because they have felonies. So it's gonna get worse before it getting better. But we have to get to a place where we're able to draw these people into the kingdom of God and be able to provide for them instead of the government. Amen. So there's strength in unity. I'm gonna wrap it up here in 2 minutes, y'all. There's strength in unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Look at that scripture again. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. So there is strength and a force in our unity as the body of Christ that cannot be duplicated under any other organization or place. When believers get on one accord and come together as one body, the power and the love of God will bring global impact. And that's exactly what took place in the early church. I still believe God. But that same thing that happened. I'm still waiting on an Acts chapter 2 experience and an Acts chapter 4 experience when the glory of God hit the church even a second time. I'm still waiting on that impact that Philip had in Samaria, where demons were cast out in one city and people were just slain under the power of God, and there were healing that broke out and such a revival in the land that even the ambassadors that traveled from other cities received salvation. I'm still waiting to see that in this nation, As many times as you hear people talk about how everybody say they're an apostle, everybody say that they're a prophet, everybody say they're evangelists and teachers and so on and so forth. All you see is all these great looking flyers and people in the presentations, and they look so good, and all these folks dressing up and coming into one place, and you got all these conferences where people are raising money, and then nobody being set free. Nobody's being filled with the Spirit of God like they was on that day in Azusa Street, like they was at the day of Pentecost. We're not seeing that. We get some dynamic teachers. There's an awesome impartation that takes place. But after that, where was the activation? Where was the release? Where was the sending? And we miss that. We miss that aspect of ministry. And this is why we have to remain on one accord. And I've always said that. A lot of times when we have dynamic meetings, you have to watch it, because the Satan is cunning. If he can get hold of one person and make them think that they're supposed to be doing something else, it will break up the nucleus of that organization or those group of people that God just threw together. That's all they need, is just one person to rip it apart. So when believers get on one accord and come together as one body, the power and the love of God will bring global impact. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read that one more time here, and we're going to begin to wrap up. I got nine love traits that I want to share with y'all as we close out. Nine love traits. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2 says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. So, in other words, what Paul is trying to tell us here, we just read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how the gifts of the Spirit advance the kingdom of God, and it causes the church to profit through the use of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. But if we don't have any love, if I don't have a compassion, and I'm prophesying to you, I'm not going to profit with the church. I'm not going to advance the kingdom. If I don't have any love, and I sit here and we engage in the gifts of healing, the church won't profit. If I don't have any love, and the works of miracles begin to flow, the church won't profit. And this should let us know that even though we're hearing about it, we hear of how it's going on even in our country, but the church is not advancing like it should. There's not a force for advancement. Anytime our president can get on the media and say that he's okay with same-sex marriages, somewhere in our nation, the church is not properly advancing. We've missed something. Even through the greatest of our apostolic leaders, that's what makes us a good dream. The greatest of our leaders that have come up and have even released other sons and daughters and raised up other apostolic and prophetic ministries, something is wrong when our government can just dictate to us, this is the way it's going to be. It's not supposed to be like that. It's not. So the Apostle Paul, he states here, without love, we cannot produce a function truthfully through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit cannot function in an atmosphere of selfishness and jealousy. Here, look at verses 4 through 8, and then we're going to read verse 13, and I want to share some aspirations of love here. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believe all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, they shall vanish away. And verse 13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So the greatest of all y'all is love. That's a vital conclusion of all things. The Bible tells us over in the book of John, it says, how can you say you love me, somebody you ain't never seen, But then your brothers and sisters that sit right next to you, that you lay down at night in bed every night with, come on, that you go to work with, and you always got your mouth and your lip turned up at. The same people that you see every day that you got an issue with, how can you say you love me and you got an issue with them? Come on. You gossiping about this person and that person, and you carrying on and behaving yourself unseemly. That's when you say love is it does not behave itself unseemly. It don't seek its own. It's not puffed up. It's not provoked. If somebody can provoke you to anger, if somebody makes you twitch and get all bent out of shape every time they say something to you, you need to check your love. Check your love level. Check your love with the Lord, and then check your love with Him. Amen. So here's some of the 9 tricks of love. It says, the force inside of you that suffers a long time. That's number one. And is still kind and gracious. My wife and I were watching one of those romantic comedies last night. And out of all the people that say something wise was the one that was kind of a womanizer. And he says, this love thing won't work without forgiveness in the movie. And I was so impressed with that statement. And it don't. Love is not going to work without forgiveness. It just won't work. Number two, that force within you that does not envy. Love is that force that's within you that does not envy. Look at James chapter 3, verse 16. This is one of the biggest things, too, that hinders the body of Christ. The book of James chapter 3, verse 16. It says, wherefore where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So if there's no love there and there's constant envy, the Bible says that there's confusion there too, and every evil work. Some of y'all might find a lot of this on the job. Amen. There's always some confusion on the job because there's a lot of envy there. There's no love. You know, they already set the atmosphere up to be more business and professional, and they kind of keep it so conclusive that you're not supposed to have any feelings. You're supposed to keep, and that's the way that we're taught in the business place. You're supposed to keep your business and your life and your personal life separate. But let me tell you something, when you're in Christ, it's difficult to keep that, not to have that be personal. Amen. That the love of Christ will always shine and illuminate itself out of us. Number three, it does not promote itself. Love does not promote itself. It's not going to keep telling everybody, hey, I love you. Man, I love you. You just are a bag of chips. No, love don't do that. Sometimes love is just outwardly going to show itself. You know, it doesn't have to prove itself. Love is not puffed up, arrogant, and proud. Number five, it does not behave itself unseemly or inappropriately. It is respectful. Number six, it does not seek a home, it's not easily provoked, and thinks no evil. Number seven, it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Amen. Number eight, it bears all things, believes all things, hope in all things, and endure all things. And number nine, this is the most ultimate one that we always know about love. It doesn't matter what somebody did to you. It doesn't matter how they made you feel. It doesn't matter what predicament you were placed in as a result of somebody else's actions. But the love of God never fails. Amen. Matter of fact, I got to go to that scripture over there in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. It says here, when you got it, just say amen. Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Verse 18, 1 John 4, 18, it says, there is no fear in love. I ain't never seen so many people in 2012 that's afraid to love. People are afraid to love each other back. People are afraid to show love and to be loved. Some folks reject love. They don't want to be loved. Amen. Doesn't matter how much you show them love, and you got children that are being raised up because they've been put into predicaments where they've been abandoned or that they've been rejected by their biological parents, or they've been through the system. Sometimes when they finally get into a place where people really truly love them, they begin to be feel like, hey, I don't know how to deal with this. I've never been loved before. So they reject it. The Bible says there is no fear in love. We shouldn't fear love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath no torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So it's kind of a two-way street. You can't feel love and I can't feel love. And if we don't feel love together, then it ain't going to be perfect. We just going to be going around talking about we love each other. And we're going to be one of those people just try to prove it and promote it. We promote it, but we ain't believing in it. Amen. So that perfect love will cast out that fear. That perfect love. It ain't nothing like the love of God. When you can understand that God loves you unconditionally, you don't have a problem loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. It don't matter. I don't care how many times they sit there and they might act unseemly in church, you still gonna find a way to love them. Amen. You have to really do something entirely out of pocket to really be put out of a church. But some folks put folks out of church just because they feel like, because they don't want to deal with them. They don't want to be a part of that. They don't want to be embarrassed. Amen. So perfect love, y'all. The unity and the love is the most important thing. That are the two foundation stones. Amen. That we got to understand as far as advancing the kingdom of God. You know, I've been around the country and preached to a lot of churches. And one of the things, and I'm just kind of share my heart right now. And I was just seeking the Lord. I said, Father, you know, we're kind of struggling here in temple. I said, people know we're trying to get the word out and let people know that we're here. Amen. I said, but the folks that have not responded. And the Lord began to teach me. He's in something, and he began to deal with it. He said, well, he said, son, deal with your family first. He said, get them ready, get them gifted, get them to a place where they're not afraid to move forward and catch hold of the vision. He said, and then in that, I'm gonna begin to send some folks that are really ready to operate in the strategies and the patterns that I'm releasing for you in that area. And then the Lord began to speak to me even more. He said, do you remember how when you would go into certain churches and then they would also be small in number, and then you would release a prophetic word, you would release a word, an apostolic word over the house, and all of a sudden the church begins to take off. And I just began to think, yeah, you didn't use me like that, Lord. I said, well, why is that happening for me? And God just began to deal with my heart. He said, son, he said, you got all of what you need. He said, implement it. Begin to do what I told you to do and what I've already placed in you to do. And part of this message today, and this is a two-part series, y'all, like I said, next Sunday we're going to continue with this. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the advancement of the kingdom through the gifts of the Spirit. And I did record today's message. It's still recorded. I'm going to broadcast it tonight. Amen. But we're going to also continue with part two of this. But I think this is probably one of the most foundational parts of ministry that we can all grab hold to, because many of us are gifted. Some of us are not growing in the gifts of the Spirit because we're either too stubborn to do it or we're refusing to do it. And so today, before we leave, we're going to pray and we're going to stir up the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to ask anybody to prophesy. I'm not going to ask anybody to flow and any of that. But we're going to stir something up even in the children, so that I'm telling you, even when I was that age, I remember the impartation. And by the time I was age 20 and 21, I started flowing in prophecy, very fluid. And so I definitely believe that when the anointing of God begins to flow, it impacts even the next generation. Amen. So let's just stand, y'all. Let's just stand and we're going to pray. And we're just going to believe God on this afternoon. Amen. Certainly the Lord is good. Amen. But we're gonna pick up where we left off at on next Sunday with part two on this teaching. And I want to encourage y'all, invite somebody, tell somebody about it. They can listen to the broadcast. It is going to air live tonight. I'm going to place it live on here. And then we're going to believe God for his next assignment. Amen. 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 Just close your eyes. Amen. Just begin to just concentrate and meditate on the Lord. Amen. Find some song I can play here. Hallelujah.
Amen. How many of y'all know the Lord really loves you? Amen. Y'all don't sound too excited about the Lord's love. Let me ask that question again. How many of y'all know that the Lord truly loves you? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know where I'd be without the knowing that the Lord, without not knowing the Lord's love. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this word on today, Lord. And Father, we bless you right now, Father, that you continue to give us increase. Increase in our wisdom, increase in our hearts, and increase in our souls, Father. Lord, you said in your word that the blessings of the Lord make us rich and they add no sorrow. And Father, we're not seeking you on this day, Father, for anything monetary, Father, even though there are some of us that are in need of it, Father. And we know that you are able, Father, to release that. But Father, we're asking you right now, Father, that you would continue to bless us, Father, and the fruits of our spirit, Father, as well as the gifts of our spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're raising us up as true sons and daughters in the kingdom. And Father, we're being equipped to do a work, Father, that is designed to advance the kingdom of God. Father, a work that will bring righteousness and holiness to a region, Father, that has been dry and that has been without the presence of the living God. Father, a place, Father, that has been full of traditionalism, Father, and a place, Father, that has not been subdued and mantled, Father, by the presence and the glory of God. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, as you begin to release your presence over this atmosphere, God, that every gift, Father, that has been laying dormant within the spirits of every individual in this place, be stirred today, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak to every power gift, Lord. I speak to the revelation gifts, Father. I speak to the gifts of inspiration, Father, that have lain on the inside of everyone in this place, God. And I stir them up right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak to it, Father. Let the winds of your glory begin to blow upon the spirit of your people, Lord, by the spirit of the living God. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your resurrection power that rests on us, Lord. And Father, for even every child that is in this place, God, Lord, I thank you for the anointing that rests on them, Lord. Father, I thank you for the glory of God that set on them, Father. Even the tongues of fire, Lord, that will sit on them, Father. And even the days to come, Father, when they would begin to speak to you, Father, even if they're a long time, Father, Lord, I pray that their ears would be opened and their spirit, Father, would be pierced by the voice of God, that they may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. God, I call forth every prophetic gifting in every child in this place today, Father. I call forth every prophetic gifting in every adult in this place today, Father. And I stir it up in the name of Jesus. Father, I call the anointing of God, Father, out of their belly. Let it flow like rivers of living water. I call forth the dreamers, Lord, and the seers in the spirit. Father, let them be able to understand more that which you've given them, Lord. Father, raise up the Josephs, Lord. Raise up the Ruths, God. Raise up the Esthers, Lord. Raise up the Johns and the Pauls, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, raise up the Joshuas, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I just thank you for even the Calebs in this place, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the anointing that's resting in this place, Lord. Father, let your presence now just begin to set over us, Lord. We just thank you right now, Lord, for your glory. We thank you for the anointing, Lord. Father, we thank you for the anointing that breaks yokes, God. Father, I even thank you for those that have unusual gifts, Lord. those that have been anointed to write, God, those that have been anointed to sing, God, those that have been anointed to give, Lord, those that have been anointed, Father, to flow in administration area, Father, those that have been anointed, Father, just to shake hands and to say, God bless you, God, those that have been anointed to exalt, praise God, Father, those, Lord, that carry the weight of your glory, Lord, I thank you that you're even stirring up the anointed in their life today, God. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for those, Lord, that are here with athletic ability, God. I thank you for stirring them up even the more, Lord. Causing them to give you thanks and praise, God. Each and every time they go up for a basket. Each and every time they swing a bat. Each and every time they get out of the blocks and run. Each and every time they leap and shout, God. Father, cause them to give you praise, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for the skills and the talents and the abilities, Lord, that rest in this place, God. Let us understand that there are diversities of operations and there are differences of administrations, Father, but all in all, they work in one, Father, and we are all up under the body of Christ. Lord, I just bless you, Father, for the differences, Lord. But I thank you for the unity, and I thank you for the love, Lord. Now bless us, God. Bless us with the know-how. Bless us with the encouragement, God. Father, I thank you for the minstrels that you're sending, God. I thank you for the anointing that you're stirring up in their lives already, Father. Lord, I thank you for every bass player, God. I thank you for every drummer, God. I thank you for every string player, Father, and those that will play the woodwind instruments, God. Father, I thank you for the trumpets and horns, God. Father, I thank you for the psalmist that shall sing under the glory of God, Father. I thank you for those that shall prophesy according to your will, Father. I thank you for those, Lord, that will move mightily in the things of God, Father. I thank you for those that are not afraid to stir up, Father, to stir up your glory over this atmosphere, Father, and to wage war against the enemy, Father, through your praise and through your worship. Lord, I thank you for those that you're raising up, Father, the disciples of the kingdom, Father, that will be implemented with the strategies and the patterns of heaven. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the instructions of your word, for the foundation that is being laid, Father. Lord, I thank you for raising them up, Lord, with wisdom and with knowledge. And Father, we loose the spirits of God in this place, Father. And we loose the spirit of the God of wisdom over our lives, Lord. For you said wisdom is better than weapons of war. And God, I thank you that the wisdom of God shall rest on our lives like never before. And that we shall make wise decisions, God. Wise decisions in the workplace. Wise decisions in the household. Wise decisions over our finances, God. Wise decisions over this city, Father. Wise decisions in the ministry, God. Wise decisions, Father. I thank you for the wisdom of God. And I thank you even for the favor because of your wisdom. And Lord, we just bless you right now, Father. We bless you, God, Father, that everyone in this place is blessed, Lord. I decree and declare blessings over their lives, Lord, like never before. I speak the blessings of the Lord right now, Father, over their families and over their kids and their loved ones, God, in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare salvation in every household, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for purity, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you even keep our children pure, Lord. That they be reserved sacred, Father, even unto the day of marriage. And Father, I pray that your wisdom will even bring them into the revelation of the kingdom. Lord, I bless you today, Lord. Father, I bless you right now, God, that we're learning to profit in the kingdom. That we're learning to advance the kingdom of God, Father. And we're not doing it through entertainment, God. And we're not doing it through showing and telling, Father. And we're not doing it because we want to be promoted, Father. But we're doing it because we love you. We're doing it because we want to serve you. We're doing it because we have put our hands to the plow and we refuse to look back, God. In the name of Jesus. We forcefully, Father, we forcefully advance this kingdom now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that you're making us spiritually stronger, God. Even now, when we leave the weight room in the spirit, God, we can flex our spiritual muscles, Lord, and know that we live good in the spirit, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you continue to cause us to exercise our faith and exercise our gifts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I release over the atmosphere, Father. I release over this atmosphere right now, Lord, the anointing from every prophetic word that was ever released over each and every one of our lives, Father, that they stir up the gifts of God that's within them from the laying on of hands, that they stir them up right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands up, because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in this room. Lift your hands up and receive. The Holy Spirit is stirring up your gifts. Lord, for us, Lord, that began to sing, Father, let us not sing the same again, Father, but let the anointing, Father, bring us to our next dimension, Father. For those of us that prophesy, Father, let us not prophesy the same again, Lord, but with accuracy and with preciseness, Lord, and that it be full with the Spirit and the glory of God, Lord. Father, for those of us, Lord, that went about with one-on-one evangelism, God, let that evangelism be done unto the glory of the Lord like never before, Lord. But continue to stir our hearts up with wisdom, Father. You say those that win souls are wise, God. And Father, I thank you for the wisdom to win souls, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, stir us up, Father, as great administrators and great prophets and prophetess, Lord, as great apostles and prophets, Lord. Father, stir us up as great teachers, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even the governmental anointing that rests heavy on us, Father, stir it up even greater, Lord, now, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I release in this room tonight, God, in this room this afternoon, that greater work shall we all do, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I bless you right now. In Jesus' name, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Father. And we just bless you on this day. We thank you. We give you praise, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you now, Lord, that you would take our love to an even deeper level, God. Father, that our love walk would come into alignment with a Christ-like character, Lord. Father, that we would love like never before, God. That we would find something in our hearts, Lord, and deep down on the inside of our belly, Father, that would cause us to love even greater, God. That would cause us, Father, to see Christ in another individual, Father, and love them, Lord. Father, to see the greatness of the Lord on the inside of our brothers and sisters in Christ. For you said in your word that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, Father. And Father, we thank you, Father, for even in your word it says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Father. And because you are the great one, the King of kings and the Lord of lords on the inside of us, Father, let us see the King of kings and the Lord of lords on the inside of others, God. That we may learn to love them. That we may learn to admire them, Lord. That we may learn the grace of God and the mercies of you, Father. Father, let us find that love again, Lord. Let us find that love in the church. Let us find that love in the marriages. Let us find that love in the household. Let us find that love, Lord, even in the workplace, God. Let us find the love of God once again, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is just really stirring some things up in the atmosphere. Y'all just really need to lift your hands up and receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the love, Lord. Make our love walk greater, Lord. Make our love walk greater, Lord. Strengthen our love, Lord. Strengthen it, Father. Let us not become puffed up and to the point where we have to say and prove what we've done, Father, but let it just be continuous, Lord. Let it be because you love us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody just need to tell the Lord that you love them back today. You're going to get some deliverance. Just in there. Just tell the Lord you love them. Lord, we love you, Father. We love you, Lord. There's no other love like yours, Lord. Nobody like you, Jesus. I know that song. I just hear that song in my spirit. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There's no love like the love of the Lord. When did nobody else love you? When did nobody else care for you? When did nobody else wanted to be bothered with you and walked away from you and abandoned you and forgot about you and just put you away and it just dogged you out? The Lord was still there and He had loved you. When everybody else rejected you, the Lord was still there and He loved you. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord. Oh, we thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, God. Lord, even when I didn't love myself, God, you still love me, God. Thank you for your love. When everybody else turned their back, God, from relationship, God, you still love me. Lord, I thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord, your love, your love, your love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Your love, Lord, your love, your love. Just bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just feel the presence of the Lord here. It's just such a sweet presence of the Savior right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, God, you're good. Lord, you're good. Lord, you're good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just pray for the children real quick. Let the children up. Come on, Caleb. Thank you, Jesus. Not just holding hands, go over hands with it. Release over y'all, Lord. Release over me when I was 5 years old. I couldn't tell you what it was. It was just a problem. Yeah, lift your hand up. Okay, your whole hand, lift your hands up. Hold hands right there. Father, I just thank you for these little ones, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the anointing on their life, Lord. I thank you for the glory of God that rests on them. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. If Lord, not tomorrow, if not next week, Lord, but in the days to come, even in their life, Father, Lord, I pray that you will just stir up the gifts of the Spirit inside of them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will just begin to draw them forth in the things of God like never before. And Lord, that you would even, as they begin to grow up, even at this age, Father, even into their adulthood, keep them and put them in remembrance of the things of God in their life, Lord, of the gifts of the Spirit that was imparted into them, Father. through the laying on of hands. And God, I thank you right now for the anointing and the power of God. And Lord, even for my own life, Lord, Father, I impart the gifts of healing, Father, with the working of miracles in their life, God, that their lives would never be the same. And Father, that they will be able to flow fluently, even in the gifts of prophecy, God. In the name of Jesus, I stir it up now, Lord. I stir it up, God. Father, I even stir it up, Father, for Lord, even in the days when they would come into the classrooms, Father. And even in the presence of their peers, God. That they would be filled with the presence of God, Father. Even like those of old, when the glory of God would come upon individuals, Lord. And they would begin to prophesy. Lord, I thank you that you stir them up even now. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, I rebuke the spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation. Every spirit of barrage, Father, that would not only try to meet them in there now, but even in there later, Father. I rebuke it and I come against it in Jesus' name. Every stumbling block of the enemy, Father. Every device of the devil. Father, I cancel the assignment of the enemy against their lives in Jesus' name. And Father, even from this day forward, Father, I rebuke the spirit of poverty and I come against the spirit of mammon right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I cancel the assignment for lack in their life, Father, but from this day forward, Father, even as they shall go forth as an adult, Lord, they will always have more than enough in the name of Jesus. And there shall never be any struggle for finances. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, I decree this and I declare this over their life. When you said you shall supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, I thank you that you are already, Father, making a way for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we surrender these little ones unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. You said, suffer not either one of the little ones to come unto you, for even theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all, put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand praise. Y'all can go ahead and have a seat if you can. If anybody, if the Lord put on your heart and you want to give, we want to definitely open, make this time available for you to give. And then we're going to go ahead and dismiss. God bless you, Pastor Lisa. Praise God. Good to finally meet you and your husband. Amen. Amen. Good to meet you. I was expecting even more guests today. I think people are having a hard time finding a hotel. Amen. But we just thank God for you. Amen. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Praise God. Amen. Well, we thank God everybody was able to join us. I'm going to wrap up this recording here. We just thank God. Amen.